You know those heroes that we watch in movies or read about in books or hear about in stories? The ones who face down any and every obstacle with unimaginable odds and come out victorious? What if I told you that was you?
Assalamu alaikum. Peace be with you. I'm Muna Hashi, and welcome to the Toward Ihsan podcast, where I help empower you with guidance and clarity, enabling you to live a meaningful life free from anxiety, frustration, and burnout. Through this podcast, we embark on a journey of personal development, spirituality, and service-oriented living, aiming to transform ourselves and our communities for the better. For the better. For the better. Because this podcast is about you.
Today we talk about finding hope and resilience in hardship and how through connecting with the reality of our relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we are empowered to own our struggle and overcome all our obstacles. Listen to today's episode to learn how the truth of your circumstances can help you get back up when life has knocked you down. People don't like hardship. Nobody likes hardship. Who likes hardship? No one. But everyone experiences hardship. It's a quintessential part of being human in this world. You will toil. You will struggle. So I know that there are going to be times that life is hard. But when I'm going through time where life is being hard on me, when I'm down on my knees and I get up, and life knees me in the stomach and I curl up, and life kicks me when I'm down and I cry out, I don't need someone from the peanut gallery going, life's tough. Get used to it. I don't want to hear that. That doesn't help. That doesn't give me hope. It upsets me more than anything. It makes me feel hopeless, actually. And that's when people start asking the question, why? Because why do I have to get used to the pain, the struggle? It's so effortful. Why do I have to go through this? And when I think on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the one who plans which trials reach me, which struggles I face, and when I think on who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is, who I know Him to be, and who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes Himself as, Ar-Rahman, the most merciful, Ar-Ra'uf, the most kind, Al-Latif, the most gentle. This commentary of hopelessness from the peanut gallery, that, hey, life's tough, get used to it, that bleakness with which they describe the trials of life, doesn't match. It doesn't befit the relationship I know I have with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as a human being. It doesn't fit who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is. There is no one that loves a human being more than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So I thought through this. Where is the mercy, the kindness, and the gentleness in life's hardships? So imagine this, and imagine it with me, because this is how I thought through this. Imagine that someone who loves you, your mother, your brother, your best friend, your spouse, your partner, your child, just someone who loves you. Imagine that that person has the opportunity to choose whether or not you experience a hardship in life, what that hardship is, and what level of difficulty. Imagine they get to do all that. And let's say they say, great, I choose that you have no hardships at all. We love you. I want you to have no difficulties, no stress, no hardships in life. But the thing about that is, what happens to the development of a human being that never had to work for anything? Ever. Their growth would be stunted. Because you can't learn if there's no lesson. And you can't grow either. You wouldn't learn gratitude because you didn't have a difficulty you needed help to overcome. You wouldn't learn resilience because you never had a knockdown you needed to get up from. And you wouldn't learn passion or drive because you never had to move things to see how far you could go. You see, struggle is imperative to the development of the human being. We don't even get to walking easy. Infants work hard. They work hard and they fall down many, many times when they are learning how to walk. But you never see a baby just give up and decide it's going to crawl for the rest of its life. Did you see yourself do that? Listen up, people. You are walking today because infant you, baby you, refused to stay down. No matter how many times you fell, how many times it hurt, how many times you cried, you kept on getting up. You were determined to walk. Don't you dare belittle the effort baby you took to stand on 2 feet, walk 3 steps, and then faceplant, and then do it all over again. And again, and again. As an infant, as a baby, you accepted failure, but you never accepted defeat. So growth is toiling. Growth is hardship. It's work. And no one likes that. And people might say they want to skip that. And in our scenario, your loved one, when they are choosing whether you should never have a hardship, they might want to reconsider, because it's going through the trial that helps you grow, that develops in you the character you need to be the best version of yourself, the one who accepts failure but never accepts defeat. So all right then, they love you and they want you to grow. So they're going to sprinkle in some hardships in life for you. But here comes a second choice. What kind of hardship? What level of difficulty is the hardship? Now remember, this is someone who loves you. Who loves you, okay? It's not the Grinch. This is someone who loves you. If this is someone who loves you, they'd probably pick something within your best interests. Some sphere of life you need to grow in, and they'd probably pick something you could handle. Okay, that's what I think in my head. This is my thought process. But I want to hear these words from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So I pick up Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's words. I pick up the Quran. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, مَا أَصَابَ مِن مُصِيبَةٍ فِي الْأَرْضِ وَلَا فِي أَنفُسِكُمْ إِلَّا فِي كِتَابٍ مِّن قَبْلِ أَن نَبْرَأَهَا إِنَّ ذَلِكَ عَلَى اللَّهِ يَسِيرٌ لِكَيْ لَا تَأْسَوْا عَلَى مَا فَاتَكُمْ وَلَا تَفْرَحُوا بِمَا آتَاكُمْ وَاللَّهُ لَا يُحِبُّ كُلَّ مُخْتَالٍ فَخُورٍ. No calamity occurs on earth or in yourselves without being written in a record before we bring it into being. This is certainly easy for Allah. We let you know this so that you neither grieve over what you have missed, nor boast over what He has granted you. For Allah does not like whoever is arrogant, boastful. This is Surah Al-Hadid, ayahs 22 and 23. The word Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala uses for no calamity occurs on earth or in yourselves, that word, asaba, that is translated here in English as occurs, but it's not actually occurs. Asaba comes from a root word that the Arabs would use when they were throwing arrows or drawing darts to hit a target. So asaba literally means to hit a target. It means to target something. And word choice is important here, because what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying is that every calamity, every hardship, every test, trial, and difficulty that comes your way is perfectly and deliberately targeted to hit you and only you. The struggle was tailored for you. It was meant for you. It's yours. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that He tells you this so that you don't get sad. But te'so, likay la te'so. Te'so actually means deep mental suffering. It means to be depressed. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling you this so that you don't be depressed. So that you understand that this was perfectly tailored to you and for you. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Al-Baqarah, La yukallifullahu nafsan illa wus'aha. Allah never burdens a soul more than it can bear. So you know, it's a promise. This test is perfectly suited to your own unique strengths and weaknesses. That's why those trials that you see someone else go through in life and you're like, oh, I could never handle that. Yeah. That's why it's not your trial. That's why it didn't come your way. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala never burdens a soul with more than it can bear. Your struggle, your test, has been curated especially for you to develop in you the character you need to be the best version of yourself and enter Jannah and enter paradise. And when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says this to me, to you, it reminds me of when I was in 11th grade taking my chemistry midterm, and I faced a literal test in which the last question was not only the hardest, but worth the most marks, as it often is with exams. And I looked at this question, and the question was this: why is it recommended that you wash your hands with warm water if the hottest tap water gets is 50 degrees Celsius and bacteria don't start dying until 70? Why is it recommended that you wash your hands with warm water? And I remember staring at this question and then staring at my chemistry teacher, Mr. DeBoer, and going in my head, you think I can answer this? You think a high schooler who's been in this class for 3 months has the knowledge to explain public health policy? I can do that? I have this knowledge? Why did no one tell me this? My God, I'm amazing. And I look back at that test question now and I thought, this answer is mine. I own this question. It is over for this question because now I know I am capable of answering it. This is my question. I got this. When I tell you, I went from, oh my God, what is this question? To, oh my God, this question for me? And then suddenly, I had the drive, I had the determination, I had the blazing focus of 1,000 suns, and I gave that question everything, all my knowledge glistening on that page. And I handed in my midterm paper to Mr. DeBoer, beaming with pride. And I felt connected to her in this moment because as the test writer, she knew what I knew, and what we both knew was that I was amazing. And when I received my test back a couple of weeks later, I immediately flipped to the last page. I didn't care about anything except that last question. And I remember laughing and grinning that I must have looked crazy to be grinning so hard at the zero on my paper. Because while I failed to answer the question correctly, the mere fact of the question's existence meant to me that I had the capability to answer it. And there was nothing that could bring me down in that moment. So grin intact, I made my way over to the teacher. I made my way over to Ms. DeBoer and I asked her, listen, I know the answer, but what is it? And she told me. And if you're interested, I'll tell you too. Because man, this thing drove me crazy. I was like, what is it? I know this. I gotta know this special knowledge that I have. She said, when you increase the temperature of water, you increase the kinetic energy of the atoms, which means that they move more. And that will increase the likelihood of the water rubbing off the bacteria on your hand and washing it down the drain. And that is why it's recommended that you wash your hands with warm water. And I went, my God, so simple. I knew that. And I never forgot it. And so just like the chemistry test question where I went, me? You think I can do that? When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala promises that each test and trial that comes my way was perfectly targeted, that it is suited to my unique strengths and weaknesses, that it is never more than I can bear, it is designed for me to be able to overcome. When I look at these trials now that come my way, the ones that would cause mayhem in some people's hearts, the ones that I know other people would run screaming in the opposite direction from, the ones that would have others still rocking back and forth, hugging their knees in the corner. I look at these trials now, I look at my trials, and I go, yeah, Allah, are you saying that I can handle this? That I can take this on? I can overcome this, me? I must be a badass. And that gives me the drive, the determination, the hope I need to face my trials. Because the peanut gallery got it wrong. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not say, life's tough, get used to it. It's as if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, life's tough, but you're tougher. And I created you a badass. And so this is the reminder I come back to when I'm going through a tough time. This test, Mona, is perfectly suited to you. I am fully capable of overcoming this, or else it never would have reached me. And there is some mercy in here, in the fact that I need this test to develop in me the character I need to enter Jannah. This struggle? I own this struggle. It's done for this struggle. And so just like baby Mona, infant Mona, getting up from falling down, trying to walk, I will overcome. I accept failure. I will fall down, but I will keep on getting up. I will never accept defeat because I am a badass and this struggle is mine. That is my reminder for myself, and that is my reminder for you. So do not grieve. La tezo. Do not grieve. Feel hope and empowerment instead. Because that is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given you with his words in the Quran. But sometimes, like when the difficulty level of the test is higher, it's not as easy to remember. And I get it. Because it's not as easy a reminder to receive when you're there. And you're going through a really, really difficult test. Because when you're faced with a particularly heavy and difficult test, let's say you've lost a loved one and you haven't slept, your family's in shambles, the phone won't stop ringing, and food doesn't taste as good anymore. It's hard to feel like a badass. And people might come over to you and say, oh my God, you're so strong, you're so amazing. And you can't possibly see how anyone could look at you all disheveled and dusty and bloodied up from this test. How could anyone look at you in your weakest state and find you strong when you feel anything but? It's harder then to feel hopeful. And it's difficult to find the mercy in all this, the kindness in all this, the gentleness in all this. Where's the love? Well, I'll show you. I once listened to this amazing story by a man named Subhi Taha, and it was his story. And he shared his story about a rough time in his life after losing his father. And the story was so profound, it stuck with me to this day. Subhi had a very close relationship with his father, Allah irham, may Allah be pleased with him. His dad would teach him about Islam, about the deen, about the Quran. He would have conversations about art and culture. One of the things Subhi used to do with his father, and that they enjoyed doing together, was learn Arabic. And then one day, his father passed away, and the things they used to do together ended. And then suddenly, the test question Subhi had to answer was, how do you move on from saying goodbye to someone who has been with you your whole life? And he spent the next 6 months struggling to answer that, to build that how. And 6 months in, his friend knocks on his door. His friend says, hey, my aunt's visiting from California, and it's her last night in Texas. Do you want to come join us for a farewell dinner? And Subhi said, sure, I'll come. And he went with his friend to the dinner. And at that dinner, Subhi was randomly seated next to the aunt, the guest of honor. And they got to talking. And one of the things they spoke about was their shared love of language. And she's like, oh, you love language? Well, I'm learning Arabic. And she's like, oh, I'm learning Urdu. And so Subhi would write something out in Arabic. And then the aunt would share a word in Urdu. And they would discuss and learn. He had a lot of fun. It was a great conversation. And as the dinner started to wind down, and people started to move into the living room to chat, Subhi felt an emotional disturbance in himself. This weird mix of sadness cutting into joy. And then he realized why. He'd had so much fun teaching the aunt Arabic while she taught him something, and he realized, this is what I used to do with my father. And that's why he had enjoyed it so much. And he hadn't been able to do this for 6 months now. And now, suddenly being able to do a thing he previously enjoyed with his father, and the realization that he no longer could anymore was too much. And he quietly went into one of the private rooms to collect himself. And while he was in the room, he spoke to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he told Allah about how sad he was and how much he missed his father. Ya Allah, I miss my father. I miss my father. I miss my father. And he stayed there a while, about an hour. And once he collected himself, he returned to the group in the living room. And the aunt looked up and she saw him. Oh, I thought you'd left. And he was shocked. He's like, oh no, I would never leave a house without saying goodbye. And she looked at him and she went, I feel like I just met your father. And Sophie freezes. What? And she says again, I feel like I just met your father. And in his head, Sophie's going, did this lady hear my conversation with Allah? And so he goes, what do you mean? And she says, well, you know, you see, our parents often leave traces of themselves in us in the way they bring us up. You telling me that your manners wouldn't allow you to leave a house without saying farewell to your hosts tells me about who your father was. And though I've never met him physically, I feel like I just met your father. And that was exactly what Subhi needed to hear in that moment. Subhi had just come from telling Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that he missed his father. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala responded to his dua immediately. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put the words that Subhi needed to cool his heart into the mouth of this woman he'd never met before that night. Someone who knows nothing of the turmoil inside him said the exact words he needed to hear to comfort him. I love this story. It's an amazing story. Because Subhi told Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that he missed his father. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent someone to tell him his father is in him. His father is with him. His father is a part of him. His father is alive in the manners and character that he instilled in him. The amount of planning that had to go into getting this woman there. She's from California. She flew all the way to Texas where Subhi was. The planning to get her there. And then for his friend to invite him the last night of her stay. For him to be seated next to her, to have the conversation about language. For him to be so overwhelmed that he went to a private room to make dua. And then for her to be there to have the dua responded to, the words placed in her mouth. The amount of planning to get all that orchestrated to comfort him in his moment of need. Who else will plan this intricately? Who else knows you so well, enough to know what you are going through, and then on how exactly you need comforting? What the exact words are going to be to deliver that comfort. That is the mercy. That is the kindness. That is al-latif, the most subtle, the most gentle. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Al-Mulk, أَلَا يَعْلَمُ مَنْ خَلَقَ وَهُوَ الْلَطِيفُ الْخَبِيرُ. Shouldn't he know his own creation? For he alone is the most subtle, all-aware. Al-latif, the most subtle, but it actually has a deeper meaning. Al-Latif is how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes himself. Al-Latif has four main meanings. The first meaning is to be kind, gentle, mild, affectionate, soothing, and to bestow with kindness. The second main meaning is to be delicate and refined. And the third, to be subtle and to know the full details of affairs. The fourth main meaning is to treat with regard for circumstances. Al-Latif knows your situation, your deeds, what is in your heart, your thoughts, your desires. Al-Latif is the one who disposes of our affairs in the most beneficial way, without us even perceiving it. That's how subtle Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is. It means to be so kind to someone, so aware of the minute details of things, and to be able to benefit you in a way that others can't, and then to do it so gently, so subtly, that you don't even notice it. That is Al-Latif. That is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's infinite kindness and complete knowledge with which He takes you gently from one situation to another, causing you to benefit without even knowing it. Al-Latif, that is Allah. And that is why when I say the comments of despair, hopelessness, cruelty, and abandonment, when I say those comments from the peanut gallery do not match who I know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to be and who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes Himself as, this is what I mean. Who else would have been able to orchestrate the most gentle lesson of, hey, Subhi, you can still experience the same joy you did when your father was alive after he passed away, and it's okay for you to enjoy it? Who could have known that Subhi would need comfort to get through this lesson and to arrange for the words to be delivered to him from a stranger who never met his father? We're talking outsourcing from California, special delivery for Subhi. We're talking flight plans, dinner invitations, seating arrangements, topics of conversations, and the exact words he needed to hear at the exact time. Refinement, details, gentleness. Who else could plan for you like this? Who else could plan for you like this? No one. No one. but al-latif. And this is just one example of the mercy, kindness, and gentleness in a struggle from the one who loves you. And Subhi and his family leaned a lot on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala during this trial. If you remember what I discussed in another episode of this podcast, in episode 2, Designing a Life You'll Never Regret. In that episode, I talk about how death is not the end for a human being. If your destination is eternal bliss in Jannah, inshallah, ameen. If that's your destination, death is a gateway to a better life. If you're the traveler going through that gateway, you rejoice at death because it brings you closer to your best destination, a place you desire most. Death then is not a tragedy for you. It's a terminal you're anxious to get over with. Let's go here. And Subhi and his family were fortunate enough, alhamdulillah, and may Allah bless that for them, to be guided to know this and remember this. So they practice sabr and iman. They practice patience and faith. And patience doesn't mean you don't cry, or you don't get angry, or you don't feel afraid. It means you have patience with your feelings and the faith that you will see your loved ones again. So hope. Hope is what I wanted to get at in this episode. When you are beat down by life and people are going, life's tough, get used to it, I want you to remember instead that yes, life can be tough, but you are tougher. And there is mercy and kindness and gentleness and hope for you even in trials. All of it from the one who loves you the most and knows you intimately. From al-latif, from the one who created you. A badass. I hope you felt empowered today. I hope you reevaluated the reality of your relationship with Allah to connecting with His name, Al-Latif, the most subtle, the most gentle. I hope through this episode you were empowered to see opportunity in bleakness, to find resilience in hardship, and to foster an unrelenting pursuit of excellence in doing good work that is aligned with your own personal hopes and dreams. Because guess what? The struggle is yours. Own it. Because you were created a badass. This is where we're headed in this journey toward Ihsan, and I'm not done with you yet. Subscribe and follow the Toward Ihsan podcast now for more episodes like this. And that is the unoriginal truth I wish to share with all you regulars working toward Ihsan.